Our scripture for this morning is from the second chapter of Acts, about three sections of it. I apologize. I told Darwin, I said, Darwin, I don't know whether you can get all this on one side of the bulletin or not, but he did. But even though it's a lot, it's all necessary for this particular way that we're going to look at it today. Beginning with the first verse of Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. That word is actually languages, as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" And then to verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." And then he spoke to them a great deal about what was going on and finished up with verses 36. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And may the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. Well, we of this church are sort of in the middle of a two-month emphasis on the Christian home. Mother's Day, Graduate Sunday, and then coming soon, Children's Sunday and Father's Day. And so here we are in the middle, about in the middle of this Christian Home Sundays. And we're now observing Pentecost Sunday. And next week, Memorial Sunday. What do Pentecost and Memorial Day have to do with the Christian home? Well, I happen to think both are very much about a Christian home. First, observing a tie-in with home on Memorial Sunday next weekend, well, honoring men and women who lost their lives, gave up their lives, defending freedom in times of war for the past several hundred years. Yes, honoring them. Men and women in the wars of our country that our country has fought, and all of them came from the homes of our nation And I'd say many, if not most of them, out of homes with a Christian emphasis. And so we rightly honor them. And then Pentecost. What does Pentecost have to do with a Christian home? Again, to that, from my perspective and my understanding, our modern observance of Pentecost has everything to do with a Christian home. Notice carefully, I said a Christian home. Also, notice carefully that I said our modern observance of Pentecost. You see, the worship of the one true God was originally the uniqueness of the Jewish people. And from the time that the Israelites being rescued out of Egyptian slavery by their one true God and under the servanthood leadership of Moses, Pentecost was originally a huge Jewish festival, a festival that observed annually, commemorating the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And that, for the nation of Israel, was a new day for who they were, a new day for them as the people of God. And so the new had come. But there's something more. The law now given was actually the warning of a possible death to a Jew. Violate the law and you die. Follow the law, do what the commandment tell you to do or not to do, or if you don't, you will die, estranged from God. That was the reality under which a Jew lived, the law. Violation of the law stood for death, and the Jewish festival of Pentecost was always that reminder. But here comes the modern Pentecost, the Christian Pentecost, established very meaningfully at the time of the Jewish Pentecost, when thousands, it says, had gathered as Jews in Jerusalem. Pentecost now for the Christians brought the Spirit of the one true God. And Spirit brings life, not death. And that's it for us Christians. Pentecost is a celebration of the infusion of God's Spirit into us, the Spirit that is our very life. And where does a Christian home come into that? Well, Jesus foretold it, Matthew 16:18, telling Peter and the other disciples that he was going to build his church on the testimony that he, Jesus, was and is the Son, God's Son, the new God of new Israel, the church. And as the church came into being on this day of Pentecost, it is the new home of God's family, Christian people, the Christian home of all of God's people. This frightened band of disciples, this lost and confused band of Jesus followers, were given a new life, a flash of insight. They finally understood what Jesus had been teaching them, and it was time to go public. It was time for this family of God to fellowship and worship in their new Christian home, and then to go out of their home to start telling the world the good news. And that, my friends, is the main job of the church. That is the great commission of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian church and of this church. Matthew 28, at the end, go and make disciples. Well, let me start that again. Go. Wait, I'm going to start it one more time. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. For us, in this church Christian home, that is our job. That's our calling. The Pentecost reminder of the receiving of the Spirit of life. This is what makes us alive and causes us to thrive. Not too long ago, one of you was talking with me, and You told me about meeting a family who'd recently moved to a home not really too far away from Bosquedale, and you told me with some good enthusiasm and hope that you had told them about this little white church on the hill pretty near to their new home, and you had invited them to come and visit this fine family of God. Someone out there, you remember this, I'm sure. You were following the Great Commission of Jesus. Imagine if we did this all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a special day, Pentecost. And we of this church see clearly. We see our source of empowerment. And it's not just today. Every day since that first Christian Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is with us individually and in the Christian home of our church family. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to witness, to testify, to be ministers of the gospel as we are together, to invite the lost, to invite a broken and hurting world, invite them to come and partake of the glorious celebration that we get to have. And when you come into this Bosquedale Church family, you can just leave all sadness behind. Know that here, as one of God's family, there is treasure here that beats the world. Just hands down, beats the world. And it is Pentecost Sunday, and so I want you to feel the joy of Spirit-led worship this day. But there is a transforming message of the cross. The scripture text for today, I know it was long, but it tells the full story of a new beginning, and the story of our beginning. And this great passage shows us with crystal clarity the power of the cross. When the people realized just what they had done in crucifying Jesus, their hearts were broken. In John chapter 12, Jesus predicted, he said, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. When we understand through the power of the witness of the Holy Spirit what God has done for us, we are cut to the heart. And along with those folks long ago who witnessed the awesome display of the coming of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost, we too should ask, as they did, what shall we do? Is there a world out there that is asking that question today? My friends, there are indeed those asking today, and you need to know, they are looking to you for the answer. Well, they asked Peter, didn't they? What did Peter say? Repent. Mm-hmm. To the feeling guilty, inquiring crowd who'd just been sensitized to their misunderstanding, their terrible treatment of Jesus, Peter said to repent. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. I kind of have to ask, are we living in the midst of a corrupt generation? If so, what can people do to save themselves from the corrupt generation? The text tells us there were thousands of people there that day. And not everyone, you remember, not everyone heeded the impassioned call of Peter. Unfortunately, that's always true. Not everyone will accept the message of sin. Not everyone will listen to our message. Not even close. But about 3,000 people hearing Peter did. The absolute and encouraging truth is some will. If we do the job God has called us to do. Mm-hmm. The truth we quickly learn when we turn to Jesus is God's grace is awesome. When we repent, something happens to the past. We quickly learn it's gone. We have God's forgiveness. Well, look at it this way. When we were children and we had done something wrong, I don't know, maybe Andy, I don't know whether you'd done something wrong. An invisible barrier built up between your mother and your father and you. But when we went and we said, we are sorry, the old relationship was restored and everything was right between us again. Repentance and God's forgiveness puts us right with God. And when we repent, something happens for the future as well. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and in that power we can win battles we never thought we could win. And we can resist things that by ourselves we would have been powerless to resist. Repentance definitely involves the past, the present, and the future. So, with the necessity of repentance, the rejecting of all that is not of God, signified by the acceptance of Jesus as God's only Son, the teaching, the lifestyle, the acceptance by Him of being a full sacrifice for our sins by His death on the cross, His resurrection to eternal life as now God of all of our life, with that repentance and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as His Lord, as our Lord, it is new life for all that do that. And that brings me back. That leads me into what is our church? What is my church home as a member of the family of God? Well, this is true of all of us, longtime family members and new family members. We as a church, as individuals, always have a lot to learn about God. Any of us, all of us, should consider a wasted day when we do not learn something new, when we have not been moved deeply into the wisdom and the grace of God. Well, let me count the ways for our church. We have much Christian fellowship to enjoy. We have real togetherness here at Bosquedale Baptist Church. Here in this Christian home of Bosquedale, we have people who love and care for us. We're family members who are on a journey with each other and are here to help each other along the way. We are indeed a band, a group. No, we're more a family of brothers and sisters. And the church is a real church only when it is that kind of fellowship. One of the great signs of this family ties fellowship is how we are blessed by the power and privilege of prayer with one another and for one another. We do it in every service. And we're always to go to God with one another before we go out into the world. Thus, we are able to meet the problems of life only because we have first given them to God and met with God about them. That's what our prayer life is about. This church is also a place where great things happen. That's the second point. Well, you may not see it visibly, or you really may. Something that's happening in the lives of the people of this congregation are being changed by God all the time. And when we expect great things from God and attempt great things from God, things happen. Third thing, this church is a place of sharing. Look and you will see. We have an intense feeling of responsibility for one another and for our community and for our world. It often happens. We hear the news of a national community disaster, and the question quickly comes, how can Bosquedale Church help? We learn of a person who has an immediate need of financial help, and the question quickly comes, how can Bosque Dale Church help? We're sensitive to local annual needs, to the Women's Center, the Good Samaritan House, the annual Bald Knob Cross offering, Santa in the Park. And we ask, how can Bosque Dale Church help? The Holy Spirit gives us empathy and calls us to action. Truly, you can say we are our brother's keeper. We can help ourselves. Many others cannot. And then the fourth thing, our church is also, and really we should start here, our church is about worshiping God. You see, there's no such thing as a person who is only, well, just I'm just a Christian all by myself out here, solitary Christian. God's Spirit moves upon us when we come together to be Christian, especially in times of worship. It is our lifeblood. And one thing that could build up, perhaps rebuild, Bosque Dale Baptist as a thriving, growing church is the understanding and a commitment to be bringing large numbers of inactive members back to weekly worship every week. Today, I feel it is my privilege to say to this very special church, you have a great future ahead of you. In just a few weeks, new pastoral leadership will be in your midst. Now, I do not know who this person is to be, but I know of almost every pastor I have ever known, this new person already has a great love for our Lord. And this person will come to have a great love for all of you. Great things will continue to happen here. And the reason I have this confidence? Because Pentecost is the great reminder that the Holy Spirit is always among you. Mm-hmm. Learn of Him. Be encouraged. Be strengthened by Him. Rejoice in Him. And be a church family that is glad. A new and wonderful thing is about to happen in your midst. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. The Holy Spirit has come. And my invitation to you, go out and invite the world around you to hear, to come into this Christian home of God's family and experience this great party with you. And all the people said along with Milton, Amen. Amen.